Well, it's been a great series, as Emma said before. And as we've been looking over the weeks at what Paul is saying in this letter, we have been looking at what it means to be church. What it means to be church. And it's a good time, you know, to remind ourselves what it means, what God is saying to us. You know, most of what you hear probably week by week, or a lot of what you hear, is not something that's entirely new. It's a reminder of what you already knew. And we all need, we all need reminding along the way what God says in his word. I did all the decorating in our house in terms of paper hanging. Eddie was the labourer, and he was a grand labourer. And he would paste the paper, cut it, and all that kind of carry on. And then I would hang it. And when you put your first piece up, you get the plumb line out. And you make sure it's straight, because if that piece isn't straight, neither are any of the others. And so I use a plumb line. To be totally honest, I use a plumb line on each piece. Some people will put another couple of pieces on, then plumb it again. But you know, the walls are not perfect. It doesn't matter which posh house you live in. None of the walls are exactly perfect. And so you need to keep going back to that plumb line to see and keep it right in line. And it's exactly the same with us. We need to keep going back to what God says in his word, to make sure we're in line with it, to make sure we're living in line with what he says. And so we've looked at the fact that we've been adopted into God's family. Ephesians tells us such a lot about our position in him and just what it meant for us to be children of God. We come to him, you know, as individuals, but we are brought into a family. Some people want to stay as individuals. Well, that doesn't work in God's plan of things. You know, he brings us into a family, and we need to have that relationship with him. Salvation is a gift from God, and it restores our relationship with him that was lost when Adam sinned in that garden so many years ago. And it also brings us into relationship, as I've said, with one another. And it says in Ephesians 2:16, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. So we are called, and you'll hear little phrases that you might have heard over the weeks that I've just picked out that have been said. We're called to be a sign of unity with God. You know, when we're in disunity, it's not a good sign to the world. When we don't show that we love the Lord, we need the power of God to live the way he's called us to live. It's an amazing, amazing experience to come into a relationship with the living God. Absolutely amazing when we truly, truly surrender ourselves to him. And we need the power of God to continue in that. And it says in Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 4, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Note to self. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. If we are together, we will grow up in the Lord. If we're living as he calls us to live and moving together, we will grow up in the Lord. God, Paul urges us to live this way. He's urging us in those words. I urge you, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling of the Lord. And he urges us not to harden our hearts. Verse 17, with the Lord's authority, I say this. I live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. You know, so easily we can harden our hearts against the Lord. We can shut off what we don't want to hear. And Paul is saying, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. If I'm speaking to you, don't harden your heart. Listen to what I have to say. Live together with one another with real love. You know, it's funny if you've seen, I've never been in the queues, but if you've seen it on the news, which I have, when Apple or Next have their sales on. I believe Next sale, because my friend goes to it, is 6 o'clock in the morning, it opens up. And people are standing for hours in the queues just to get in. And you know, there's so much camaraderie in the queue as you're waiting and chatting to one another. But I'll tell you this, as soon as them doors open, camaraderie goes out the window. It's every man for himself, and they're fighting to get over each other, and number one is the one that's the most important. And you know, sometimes we can be like that. We can be like that. We live as we think we ought to, and we try to do what God calls us to do, but there are sometimes just number one just takes over. And we don't do the things that Paul is begging us to do. And then in chapter 5 that we had last week, I wasn't here, sorry, but so it was again calling us to live well. Verse 1 to 2, imitate God therefore in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Is your life and my life a pleasing aroma to God? And Paul compares the difference with living in the light and living in the world. As the passage goes on, he compares the two: broken relationships, immorality, coarse jesting. And all of these things, you know, can creep into the church and often do. And we have to get that plumb line out again and remind ourselves what God is saying to us. Ephesians 5 and 10 says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. He calls us to expose the evil deeds of darkness. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's hard. You feel like you're a grass. It's hard to expose some of the things that are going on. I remember when Eddie took a job over the water in the Wirral somewhere. And as he started to look through the books, he began to realize that somebody had been stealing. And he started to put evidence together, if you like, and then presented it. And the woman who it was who was stealing, the woman that had had the job before Eddie, ended up in court, and so did Eddie for 3 weeks, giving evidence, you know. But he couldn't ignore it. He exposed the deeds of darkness, and we have to do that at times, you know, and it's hard. We have to do that as we move in what God is saying to us. But we have to live the life. If you're going to expose something, you need to be living the life yourself. You need to be walking with the Lord. And then through the chapter, he goes into relationships. And husbands and wives was where he ended. And where we begin today is children and parents. Because he's saying we also need to have the right relationships in these areas too. And so in 6 verses 1 to 4, it says this: children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children but to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And the idea here is of submission, children submitting to their parents, because their parents obviously know what's right. But you know, I believe that God is calling us to honor our parents. It doesn't matter how old we are. Now, obviously, when you get into adulthood, obedience isn't the thing, because you're then an adult in your own right. But honoring your parents, I believe, is something you do till they die. That is what God is calling us to do. And it says, this is the first commandment that comes with a promise, an actual promise that, you know, if we do what God is calling us to do, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. And what Paul is saying is good relationships, right relationships are important. They are so important. And also, he's addressing the children, obviously, that they must look to parents for guidance and direction. And we must, as parents, guide and direct in the ways of the Lord. We ought to exercise loving discipline. There's all kinds of ways over the years we've disciplined our children, and I'm not going into smacking and all that kind of stuff. But the idea behind any discipline is that it comes from a loving heart. Yeah. It comes from a heart that wants to see children do better, grow up and live a good life. And so Paul is addressing these relationships as important. It's important because it's a witness to those around. And then Ephesians 6:5, it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we're slaves or we're free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. I love that. I think it's almost like humorous. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he hasn't got favorites. Isn't that incredible? And in a sense, obviously, we don't have slaves and masters to the extent today. But it's talking about working relationships. It's talking about how you work. Christians, when you're working for your boss, are you serving sincerely? I mean, it doesn't matter if he's not the best or she's not the best boss. We've got to be an example in the way we work. And you know, I find it so much easier when you know that it's the Lord you're really working for. That if in the place of that boss that maybe you don't like, or maybe you think's unjust and unfair, if you put the Lord, and just remember, he's the one you're really working for. He's the one that's asking you to work with enthusiasm. Do the best job that you possibly can, and the Lord will reward you. There are rewards for living the way God has called us to live, you know. We can go our own way and we can taint our relationships and all kinds of things. But if we really want the true rewards of God, if we really want the abundant life that he's called us to live, we need to live as he's asking us to do. We need to stand out as those who are a real example. And if you're a Christian boss, your employees should be people who love working for you. Have people who really want to work for you, because you may be the master on earth, as was said in the reading. But God in heaven has no favorites. He will still reward you according to the way you have lived. It's great, isn't it, to be the person that God's calling you to be. And it seems to me that in this letter, Paul is writing to, yes, the Ephesians, but this, it's a whole general letter to all of the children of God. Everything comes down to relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with one another. We've got to recognize what God has done for us and so lay down our lives for him and surrender to him and live the way he's calling us to live. He's brought us into his family. And we need to remember that sometimes when we're feeling we want to be outside of things. We don't want to be in a family. God is bringing us into his family. Relationships with others are important because they let us know how we're getting on. You know, we don't always choose our family. We don't choose our church family. But God has placed us so that he can hone us, so that he can rub off our rough edges. And we need to see one another as those who will spur us on in whatever way to be the people that God is calling us to be. And our relationships are a witness to the world. It says in John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And so we need to look at our relationship with the Lord. Is it what we want it to be? Is it that walking with him that blesses our hearts? And our relationships with one another, whether it be in the family or in the family of God, what are they like? Are they the way God wants them to be? Children, do you honor your parents, however old you are? Parents, do you know how to discipline your children with loving care for them? Are you a great example by the way you live, so that they're not confused by what you say to them against what you actually do? Are you the best boss that you could be? If you're an employee, does your service measure up? Do you give 100% whether you're watched or not? Because you know really your boss is the Lord. It seems to me the winning ingredient in good relationships is sacrificial love. You won't always be thanked for it. That's what makes it sacrifice. People won't always be blessed, well, accept what you are doing for them. That's what makes it sacrifice. You might find it hard to reach out to some people. That's what makes it sacrifice. If everybody was easy to love, there's no challenge, is there? There's no challenge there. Even the world does that. So we need to have that sacrificial love for one another. And I want to ask you today, what adjustments do you and I need to make to restore relationships that are broken down? Either us and God, us and others. To renew relationships that have been neglected. Maybe you've neglected your relationship with God. Maybe neglected your relationship with others. To reconnect with those in the body. Play your part in it. What adjustments do we need to make? I do not believe for one second that God hasn't been speaking to us over these weeks. He hasn't been saying things into our hearts or challenging us in any way, shape, or form. For every one of us, there will be something that God wants us to do. There will be some adjustments that we need to make in our lives, in our attitudes, in the way we are, because we are not perfect. And because we are being changed from one degree of glory to another as we live this life. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And then Paul says a final word, kind of adds this on at the end, a final word. Because I love the fact that God doesn't leave us to struggle on our own. He gives us strategies for living the way that he's called us to live. And it says this in verse 10, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. And in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And he's saying, understand that when relationships break down between us and God or between us and others, what's behind it? The devil is the one who will try to break relationships. So that person might seem really irritating to you, but you know the devil is behind trying to break down that situation. And we need to recognize that our enemies are not one another, but they are the devil himself and his angels. And so we need to stand in the armor of God, the belt of truth. You know, Satan fights with lies. He'll tell us things that are totally untrue. And sometimes the lies sound like the truth. I remember Howard Morgan saying once, Satan can put up with 99% truth if he can get in his 1% lies, because it distorts. It makes such a difference. And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us the truth in the situation if we are feeling that we're listening to Satan's lies. And the body armor of God's righteousness. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He attacks the seat of our emotions, our self-worth, our trust. Remind yourself, God has clothed you with his righteousness, that you are good enough. You are good enough because he's made you good enough. That our sin and the things that we've been involved in the past doesn't stop us now, because we are clothed in his righteousness. He loves and accepts us. Remind yourself that when Satan is around. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news. You know, Satan would have us think the task is too big. It's too big, it's too much. They don't want to know. Nobody wants to listen. Negative responses are too much to cope with. But you know, God will always give you what you need in any situation when you share his love with others. God gives, and giving gives us that motivation to speak to others and to share the good news of peace for all. We need to remember that the situation we face isn't too big. That person isn't too lost, because God is giving us the motivation to go and speak a word for him. And the shield of faith. In every battle, you'll need faith. You'll need faith as your shield. When Satan attacks with temptations and setbacks, you need to see the bigger picture. You need to see things from God's perspective. And if you have the shield of faith, you'll see things from God's perspective. You'll know and see beyond the circumstances you're in. And you'll know that ultimately God will give you the victory. We need to have the faith to believe that. So many times in our lives when things hit us, we need to know that God is for us. we've sang, isn't it? How God is for us, who can be against us? And the helmet of salvation. Put on salvation as your helmet. Satan will make you doubt you're saved, but Jesus saves. Jesus saves and we're saved. Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. He will hear you. He loves you and he's died for you. Don't allow Satan to tell you you're not saved. Do you ever doubt your faith sometimes? Just doubt, well, Lord, am I really saved? Do I really have that hope for all eternity? Do I really have, how does it work out? It's too big for us to understand sometimes. But you know, we put on the helmet of salvation and we understand that salvation is there. Jesus came into the world to bring it and we have it. It's ours for the taking, for asking him. And then the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's the only weapon of offense. It's the only weapon you can use against Satan because it's God's word and it's right. And there are times that we need to take the offensive against Satan and quote God's word to him. It's exactly what Jesus did when Satan tempted him in the wilderness. Jesus quoted back to him God's word. And we need to do it. When we're fearful, we need to remind ourselves that we're no longer a slave to fear, as we've just sung, that his word says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my victorious right hand. We need to have that sword of the Spirit and believe that God's word stands forever, that what he says, he is true. So when those things, Satan would come against us, we need to throw back at him the mighty word of God and put him in his place, if you like, with that. And then lastly, pray. Prayer is so important. Prayer is relationship with God. We are saved, yes, but we are walking with God. We're talking with him. What kind of relationship would you have with anybody you never spoke to? We speak to God. Speak to God daily. How can you say you have a relationship with God if you never speak to him? God wants us to talk to him along the way. He wants us to give him time to talk back to us. And so we need to walk in that way that we talk, that we pray to him. There's been such a lot in this letter which the Apostle Paul wrote. And I just want to ask you again, what has God been saying to you through it? I really urge you to go away and to just scan over those six chapters again and say, Lord, what is it you want me to work on? What is it in my life I need to bring under your control? There isn't one of us in this place today who doesn't need to make some adjustments in our lives. Not one of us. Nobody here today is perfect. We all need to make adjustments to be what God has called us to be, to bring ourselves back into line of the plumb line of God's standards, if you like. I want to ask you, are you willing? Are you willing for God to do some surgery in your life? Are you willing to let go some of the attitudes, the behavior, or whatever, that the way you have been, maybe for years, and God is saying that just needs to go? Are you willing? Are you willing? You know, if everyone here today heard God's voice and acted on it, this place would be on fire. This place would be on fire and people would be drawn in. People would be drawn in because they'd see the love of God in action in every different way. It's a powerful witness to the Lord. It says in his word that showing love for one another is a powerful witness to those around. And then finally, Paul says, peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. And may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you don't leave us wondering how to live. You don't leave us, Lord, thinking, what will I do next? You have given us your word to show us the way ahead. You've given us your spirit to enable us to do it. You've given us the tools for warfare. Lord, you don't leave us without. We wouldn't look at our children, Lord, and expect them to do something what they don't have the capacity for. Lord, you give us everything we need. Give us willing hearts. Give us willing hearts, Lord, to make those adjustments in our lives, that we might be more like Jesus, and that we might be powerful, effective witnesses in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.